Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on August 10th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us today as producer and co-host, President and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, Mr. Mark Lips. And of course, with us because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com, and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie. Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Happy Friday, Joe.
It's Friday, Happy Joe. Friday. We love Friday. We love doing the show on Friday. It's always a good thing.
It's a message.
Hey, by the way, by the beach, you guys know, of course, that it is not only sold out. Well, I won't say it. It's sold out. I don't want any fire marshals to hunt me down.
Right.
So, not that, I mean, it's outside.
It's going to be packed.
So not really a concern. I don't know how packed it'll feel because we got a nice space and we do try to, it will definitely be gregarious and there'll be people there, obviously. So you'll know it. But hopefully everybody, it's not so that you can't, it's a good crowd and not something that, you're going to be so uncomfortable.
My only thing is I would say dress for,
you know, warm weather.
Every year you do this event, and it's such a fun event, and it's such a great venue. You tweak it each year. Each year you look at what happened, and then you make some changes. And way in the beginning, I remember that there were parts of it that got overcrowded, and there were other areas where a lot of people weren't hanging out. But by making the changes each year, moving things around, spreading things out a little bit, it makes the flow more even. I've never felt outside of the first year or two that it was wall-to-wall people because things kept changing, it kept evolving. I think it's going to be really good.
We're trying to make it better each year. The last 2 years are the only 2 years it has ever sold out. I'm excited that we need to keep it, keep that momentum going. Because it is a real necessary and vital fundraiser because, people don't realize that everybody thinks because we're a Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce that we're this affluent organization. But we're a nonprofit. We struggle to make payroll. Mm-hmm. Our plan is to, we spend our money on we're very business-oriented, small business-oriented. We try to spend our money on our businesses with seminars that are free to our members, with after-hours socials, which are free to network, which are free to our members. We advocate for our members in front of city council. I go to every city council meeting. I sit on commissions too. And So we try to be a real resource, but in order to do that, we have to have some of these events that are just fundraisers for the chamber. It's not like the old days where the city, where even this chamber used to get a ton of money from the city, and, you know, you just put on, I'm not sure what they did for the small businesses, but they just put on parties all the time, you know, and installation dinners and board dinner, you know, and it was really patting themselves in the back. And, you know, that's why I said you got to hire someone from the community in this position. And, you know, and I went home and said, wait a second, that's me. And having gone into forced retirement out of my previous industry, and I think it's working. You know, I think we've increased our membership by over 100, well over 100 in the last year. And we do 1 to 2 seminars a month. Our state of the city, which everybody in the past and most places did. In fact, Bill Brand followed me on this when he offered it for free in Redondo. But I offer our state of the city will always be free now going forward, because price should not be a barrier for your small business and your residents to be able to be front and center and face to face with city council and our city leaders, where you can have coffee, talk to them on a one-on-one basis, not with a podium. And so we did that for the first time last year. Full house, awesome, very fun. So I'm excited. And Bite at the Beach is the one time. Also, we get our clients together. We get people there. Steve will be there. In fact, our guest, he bought a ticket. And, it's just great because that's the one time we kind of let our hair down. We can clink glasses. We can, do the happy dance and just enjoy life for a bit. So I'm excited.
Well, we're
and
very
then
excited.
Next week we'll be on to the next. We got a couple of seminars coming up. We got one on August 30th at WeWorks, Employee Happiness, and it's Dan Chase talking about employee law, and then Dan Stover, who travels all over the country, and this will be from 5 to 7, and he'll be talking about, you know, what are those little things you can do to make sure your employees are happy. And there are things that small businesses can do and they should be cognizant of that aren't going to cost you an arm and a leg, you know, and just create that goodwill with your employees and maintain those employees, keep those employees, the good ones, you know. So that's going to be a great seminar. And we got another one coming up shortly after that. Anyway, we're rocking and rolling over here with
all
our
right.
little
okay.
staff,
right.
of,
okay,
staff
so I just,
of staff of two. So
I just wanted to mention before we get off the Bite at the Beach topic altogether, this Saturday, August 11th, Bite at the Beach, 2 to 6 p.m. VIP hours from 2 to 3. General admission is at 3. Joe and I will be doing a Facebook Live podcast from the event, starting at 2:30.
Cool. Yes.
So for you poor souls out there that were locked out and didn't get a ticket, tune in, all right? The link is already up on Facebook. Joe, is it on the South Bay Show Facebook page or the Chamber page? Which one did we do?
It's going to stay where it is. It's just we don't want to move it because we've already
okay.
got several right. people that have expressed interest. So
put it in
there. Keep
and,
that.
And a reminder. Okay. All right. So, yeah. So if you're just kicking
you
back.
You
want
to give out the URL?
You can.
For those people that want to find it because they want to watch, you can start watching at 2:30 tomorrow Saturday, 2:30 tomorrow. Bite at Beach 2018 Live dot the South Bay Show dot com. So it's 20. It's Bite at Beach. There's no THE. We took out the, but it's Bite at Beach 2018 Live dot thesouthbayshow.com, and that will take you directly to the Facebook Live event.
And the Facebook Live
That's
event,
it.
As I said, is going to be on the South Bay Show Facebook page, and I'm putting the links out every place. It went out yesterday in the weekend guide, and I know Mark put it in a bunch of places, so it should be pretty easy to find if you're interested. So, again, that's tomorrow at 2:30. And I believe, Mark, we're going to play the audio of that show the following Friday, next Friday, correct, on this show spot.
I think that's what we said. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Just making sure.
Okay. Right. If you can do it,
we can do it.
Yeah.
We can do
and
it.
And what will it sound like, the audio?
Just a bunch
of people yelling and screaming and drinking.
Yeah, and hearing Phil and people go, we'll draw pictures. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it'll be fun. So you can relive it once. You can live it once live, and you can relive it a second time. So yeah, just wanted to mention that.
Good.
It's gonna be fun. Looking forward to it.
I like it.
We are gonna have so much fun, and I tell you, this topic that we're gonna talk about today is so timely. Almost every day, I actually use the Bird, B-I-R-D, scooters to get from my parking garage to my office, and then from my office in the evening to my parking garage in Culver City. It's about, I would say, 4.5-5 blocks. It takes about 15 minutes to walk. It takes about 3 to 5 minutes on a Bird, and it's pretty convenient. Now, they're not that safe and all that. We'll get into that, but Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Steve Collins, partner and president of Hermosa Cyclery. Now, Steve was born and raised in Redondo Beach, attended Redondo Union High School, and attained a degree in business finance and marketing from Cal State Long Beach. He was a Hermosa Cyclery employee since 1979 and has been a partner and president since 2002. Steve was awarded Businessman of the Year in 2011 from the Hermosa Beach Rotary Club and Hermosa Beach Chamber of Commerce Man of the Year for 2011. He has sat on the South Bay Bicycle Coalition Board of Directors since 2011 and the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix Board of Directors since 2016, in addition to being the spokesperson for established bike rental stores in the Beach City since 2017. Now, as we mentioned this morning, we're going to discuss the relatively new scooter issues local municipalities are dealing with and bike share programs. So welcome to the program, Steve. We're so glad you could join us this morning. Steve, you there? Steve's there?
Oh, I am here.
Yes.
Okay,
now,
great.
Now
okay,
we can
great.
Talk.
Okay.
Yep. I'm really happy to be here.
Sorry.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome. We're glad you're here.
Well, thank you, Steve, because first of all, we're gonna start with a little history, because Steve, your business is not only so visible when people go to the Strand, of course, everyone that comes to Hermosa that's looking to have fun is going to be going to the Strand, going to the beach. Your business is so visible and has such an impact, but it's also been such a fixture in the community since I know I was in the South Bay and as my children have grown up. Tell us about the history of Hermosa Cyclery.
Well, thanks, Joe. You get me talking about this, and it's hard to stop me. So be sure to use the hook if I carry on too long. So the bike shop has been there since 1974, and I like to tell the story through my eyes because I'm so passionate about it. And on July 5th, 1979, about noon, my mom, when I was 16 years old, drove me to Hermosa Cyclery for probably the third time to ask for a job from then owner Harold Shoemaker. And on that day, on that time, he said yes. And I'll tell you, it was one of the best days of my life. I wanted to work there so bad, and getting that job was just a dream come true. I love working on bikes. I love riding bikes. I love serving the community. The beach community is fantastic. So I worked there through high school and college, and it just continued to be the best job ever. In fact, I don't think I ever told Harold, but I would have worked there for free. It was so fun. So after college, I left and sought out another job. And then in 2002, although my partners and I kept in touch with Harold Shoemaker, the owner, after we left. And in 2002, sadly, he passed away. And we were surprised, my four partners, that there was a will written that willed his store. Now, mind you, that's not the building. It's just the ongoing business. But he willed his store to four kids that worked for him in the late 70s, early 80s. And those four were...
Goosebumps right up. I mean, that's cool.
I still remember the day I got the call. You know, just out of nowhere, I knew that Harold was ill, and I'd been seeing him in the hospital, and he had passed. And about 2 weeks went by, and we figured the family was going to take over the store, and we're encouraging them to keep it going because we love that place. And we got a call. I did. I got a call, and they said they had found a will, and they took it off-site so it wouldn't be destroyed, and cut open this little tubular safe and pulled out a will, and they proceeded to read it to me, and they said he gives all of his possessions to Steve Collins, Larry Burke, Mark McNeil, and Ken Leibowitz, my four partners. And so we were blown away. We love that store as employees. We love it just as much, maybe more, as we get to operate the store. We're passionate about it, and since 2002, it's been a big part of all four of our lives, and that's how we got re-involved in the store. And I know you had mentioned that, Joe, you see me about town, and we're pretty involved in the community, and I actually get to do that part of the work, the outreach and engagement and stuff, and it is just so great. There's so many wonderful people around town that we're having a good time, as you can tell.
Well, you know, we send, now that we lost our one downtown or close to the beach bike rental, we send people to Hermosa Cyclery all the time. That's, you know, that's where they go.
Yeah, we know you do. People say
so. We put
so
out and, flyers. We put out all kinds of stuff and say that's where you need to go. And it's a great place to start, right there on the pier, and then move north and come to downtown Manhattan Beach. So we'd like to see you get more involved in the Manhattan Beach Chamber and do some things here, and let's build up that let's build up Hermosa Cyclery to where, and then I've got some thoughts on how it can be Manhattan Cyclery.
That sounds fun. Yeah. You know, I know there's a political boundary between Hermosa and Manhattan, but there's a lot of folks who cross that border and enjoy each city seamlessly, and we've enjoyed that for many years, that we've got a lot of folks from Manhattan Beach that frequent our store, and we sure do appreciate it.
You're right there in the middle. You're right there. Everybody. I ride up from Rat Beach. I ride up several times a week from Rat Beach. And as I said, I think I got an issue with my tires because every time I get on the bike, they're a little flat. So I have to stop and get air.
The problem
is I get some air.
I went to Hermosa Cyclery, I think, a year ago, and I bought four of their bikes that they were selling, of their rental bikes that they were selling.
Oh, cool.
Seven-speed cruisers. Great, and I was keeping them in my garage, and then of course some of them wound up out by the side of the garage, and what I've discovered, Steve, is that I do not have staff that takes care of those bikes, and I found out why your bikes are in so much better condition than my bike, I really should learn, everybody, every kid. You know, there's certain things that I think growing up, and I think it's a lost art a little bit, except for those that are passionate. You see them riding all the time. But how to work on a bike and drive a stick shift. I mean, these are things that people just don't do anymore, you know. Because, look, you got Joe jumping on an electric scooter when he should be walking five blocks and dropping that scooter off somewhere for, Joe, you're the anti of what we want in here in Manhattan Beach.
Oh. I
know.
It's terrible.
Doctor scooters.
Yeah.
That's going to be, by the way, and just get right into that issue, is we told, and Napolitano said this, and we told the Lime guys, it was either Lime or Bird, whoever is doing that deal in El Segundo, he said, you come and drop a bunch of scooters off in our town, and you may find them at the end of the pier.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
I believe that scooters do have a use. What Joe is doing, when I worked in downtown L.A., because I'm originally from New York, and I was used to mass transit, I would take the bus to work every day, and I would have to walk four or five blocks to get to my office from the bus stop. So I can see a place for the scooters. I can see that. you know, what do they call it, last mile or something like that?
Right.
There's a term for it.
Micro-transportation, right.
Yeah. But anyway, that's just my two cents on it.
Yeah. I kind of understand Steve Napolitano's concern about scooters and bike share in Manhattan Beach. You know, it's known that where bikes are concerned and bike share, that bikes end up at the bottom of the hill. They also end up in popular downtown locations, and you can imagine the amount of vehicles that would be parked on your pier and your strand and the walkways that lead to that in Manhattan, where there is no room for them. And I think concern for that is actually been borne out in what we've seen at different places around the country. I know Seattle's had that problem with the vehicles being left at the bottom of the hill. Now, they reposition them. They have vehicles come and pick them up and charge them and relocate them. But it's hard to imagine that's profitable with bike share, having it go down the hill, put it in a truck, take it back up the hill to have it come back again for a dollar. So I think there's a lot of serious doubt about the viability of that business. Scooters are different, though. They have motors, and you may not have that bottom-of-the-hill problem with them, but you're still going to have the clutter problem. That's a known issue. And where there is no room for clutter, and Hermosa Beach is very similar, and there's no patience for the clutter, I think there's a serious problem.
Yeah. See, that what it points out is it's the dockless issue. You know,
that's right.
It's dockless. Listen. Here's my thing. I'm not against, if you want to take an electric scooter 5 blocks, that's great. You want to take an electric bike and drive it around. I may get on an electric bike, by the way. I've now been converted a little bit, but mainly because I want to get around and meet with clients and I don't want to be a ball of sweat. And I sweat so
right.
easy, but I just believe we need to have stations. You know, set up stations, and you take that scooter or that bike from that station, and then you bring it back to that station, or you take it to another station. Say you're going to the North End from downtown. There's a station on the North End. You drop it off at that station. These are stations that are worked out. There's a station on Sepulveda. Maybe there's a station over at Pollywog. You know, who knows? But you have these points of drop-off.
Well, I think you're barking up the right tree. There's an organization. I'm not going to get too wonky here, but there's an organization called the National Association of City Transportation Officials, NACTO, who you guys may have heard of, and they recently published a report that said 44% of all bike share bikes are the dockless kind, but they account for only 4% of the actual bike share trips. So there's a serious doubt about the viability of that format, and the ones that work really well are docked. And they're docked in places where there's density, not just in traffic, but in people, and the traffic is slow moving,
right.
And they're safer in that kind of environment. But in a rural environment like Redondo, Manhattan, Hermosa, I just don't know how viable that model is for the purpose of transportation.
The thing is, it's like picking up your toys, okay? We teach our kids to pick up their toys and put them where they belong, or anything, and put it where it belongs. It's the same way. We don't want to leave toys lying around all over the city. They need to be used, utilized, enjoy them, and then you put them back where they belong. You know,
right.
A station or, you know, a shop, wherever you rented it from.
But I don't think they're teaching kids that anymore.
What?
I don't think they're teaching kids.
Well, that's because they're only putting away an iPad.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but,
Steve, I want to cover the issue of, I mean, obviously, if the city in Manhattan does not want to see dockless scooters proliferate, then they could pass an ordinance, but the bottom line is, I guess the company will fight that. That's fine. They're a centralized target. You can sue them. You can get to them. It's not so much the organized companies that are responsible. It's the irresponsible companies that are going to do it in a guerrilla style.
But that's the organized
companies. Well, and
well,
no
is,
one's doing it if they're not, and no one's doing it if they're not making a profit. If you're not making a profit, you will see no scooters. So,
well, you know,
talk about
so
that.
So, some of us think that the scooters are going to replace the whole bike share conversation. That was too early to tell. But the fascination from the big ones, the big bike share companies, is focused on scooters. And I think, just as Mark had intimated, that you don't want to show up sweaty to your last mile destination, that maybe people aren't so excited about the exercise component of micro transportation, that it's actually just getting there inexpensively, apparently not safely, but inexpensively, and maybe
right.
Environmentally friendly. But it looks like the scooters is getting the lion's share of the attention, and maybe that's where this whole micro transportation thing is heading.
Well, because
that's what
because
they're saying.
What we've seen,
they're saying that it's replacing, you know, that walking's being replaced with scooters. Now, granted, you know, because we're a generation now that we don't want it good, we want it Thursday, we want it fast, we want to get there. You know, the walking and taking our time and smelling the roses is just not really conducive to this world because of the whole digital, the speed of digital.
Yeah.
But the thing, and to Joe, to your point about an ordinance, the city will do an ordinance, but these will be safety ordinances, okay? So if you use a scooter, you've got to use it properly, too. You've got to be on the street. You've got to have
right.
a helmet. You can't be driving 20 miles an hour on a sidewalk or on the Strand where bicycles, you know, are
right.
there. So
you know,
there will be ordinances.
I'd like to kind of give perspective to the whole scooter thing. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember mopeds.
Yep.
And it seems to me that e-scooters occupy the same space that mopeds once did in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And that fad has come and gone. I mean, you don't see mopeds riding on the sidewalk. I think we'd be pretty appalled. And these little devices are cute. You know, they're electric, which makes them fit our sensibilities for this generation more with the environmental friendly footprint. But, you know, they're still fast moving and with a full grown adult on them, heavy objects, and to see them go down
right.
the sidewalks is just, you know, the laws we created back in the 70s were probably less safety conscious than we all are today.
Mm-hmm.
And to see us suspend our whole, you know, sensibility about safety is really bizarre. And I'm having a hard time understanding. I know the scooters are cute, but to have them right on the sidewalk is really odd. I mean, just to clarify, and I know we've all read this, but California state law interprets these modes of transportation in the same way they do a moped. You have to have a driver's license. You got to be 16 or have a learner's permit, it appears. You have to wear a helmet, and you cannot ride them on
right.
the sidewalk unless you're leaving a parking lot. And we're doing all of those. In fact, the friends I see with photographs on these scooters, they're in crosswalks, they're on sidewalks, they have no helmet. And I get it, it's fun. But, you know, in numbers, this starts to matter. And average speed matters, too. With conventional scooters and bikes, you're definitely going at a slower speed than you are when you are motorized. I mean, it's anecdotal. I see it all the time. People on motorized devices
mm-hmm.
are going noticeably faster. And with a full-grown adult on there and you step out of your business and get run over by a full-grown adult on a scooter, I mean, there's serious injuries occurring already, and the numbers aren't even where they're going to be once it takes full root. So I'm actually surprised. And I think if we get our sensibilities about us and confine them to the space that they are legal
mm-hmm.
by a very bare minimum safety sensibility, that these things probably are going to fade away in their usage because
we had that conversation.
I think it's unsafe. Yeah.
We had that conversation the other day that, you know, once these things are corralled and we enforce that's the other question is you got to enforce it and it's just tough to do. You know, you know, how many policemen do we have running around Manhattan Beach and how many of them, with all that they're doing already, are going to be able to pull that scooter off the sidewalk and take that time to write up that ticket and do all the due diligence you have
right.
to do when
right.
you give someone a ticket. They're going to put a value on that time and go, geez, I'd rather go get a guy speeding. You know, but nevertheless, Joe, it could, we were thinking, if it ends up that we can somehow enforce this and get them off the sidewalks and get them being used in the places that are allowable, that it could become a fad. People might say, you know what, I'd rather have a bike if I'm going to ride in the street or something like that. And the other thing is, to Steve's point on the safety issue, I mean, what happens? Listen, we've seen it with X Games and skateboarding and all of that, because all my kids and all of us, you know, you begin pushing the limits. Like, how many times now have you seen two people on a scooter? You know,
yep, I just saw one the other day. Yep.
And you know, pretty soon they're going to be pulling things. They're going to be, you know, it really is going to morph into something that's going to become even less safe. And what we have to do is just this safety ordinance, and we really have to have some teeth behind it to make it work.
Right. All right, listen, you
now
guys.
We're going to continue.
Joe, we're going to continue. Yeah. Joe, we got to do a station break here.
Right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue with this exciting conversation. You're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking, we're going to talk some more about Hermosa Cyclery, one of the great businesses in the South Bay and in Hermosa Beach, but we're going to talk a lot more about this issue of these dockless scooters and rideshare bicycles, and how the last mile transportation infrastructure is changing around us, and we're going to talk more about that, and we're not going to take calls today, I guess, because we've got a lot to talk about, and we're going to continue that conversation. Let's continue.
All right. Okay. So listen, I there's a couple of things I want to mention here. So, Steve, I got an electric bike, oh gosh, three or four years ago, and it was for a number of reasons. One, I can no longer ride my bike up the hills. You know, I'm down in South Redondo, and I've got that ramp at Avenue I or the ramp at Torrance Beach to get up, which I can no longer do, in addition to living on a hill. So several years ago, I was like, I can't do this anymore. You know, I love going out and riding my bike on the Strand, and it's such a great experience, but to end that ride, having to go up those hills, it became too much for me. So my husband bought me an electric bike for Christmas about, I guess it was 4 years ago. And the thing has changed my life because what Mark touched on earlier, I go to meetings, I go to events, I'm wearing skirts, dresses, heels. I can get to these things without breaking a sweat. I still pedal, but I'm not, you know, hitting it hard going up the hills. I don't have to. The other thing is I use my bike to go any place west of PCH because I don't like riding on the street. I am very uncomfortable riding in traffic. So anything in the – I go from Torrance, I go to Playa del Rey, and everywhere in between, the Strand, the bike path is my highway, all right? I am a responsible cyclist, all right? I'm not flying down there. You know, I am responsible. I also use – the bike lanes in Hermosa. And Hermosa has dedicated right lane for bicycles, all right? Now, a couple of items. I've seen lately that it's not, you know, I was one of the first people to have an electric bike in the South Bay regularly. I mean, I was out riding my bike, and you cannot believe the commentary I would get. I would ride by, and people would look at my bike and say, well, what's the point, you know, of having an electric bike?
Right.
But now I'm seeing gas-powered two-wheel vehicles. I'm seeing electric and gas-powered three-wheel vehicles. I'm seeing vehicles that look like mopeds, only with fat tires. I don't even know what you call these things. There's a whole bunch of hybrid stuff out there. And what I'm afraid of is if they outlaw any type of motorized vehicle on the bike path, where am I going to go? Where are people that use it the way I do? Where are we going to go? So I know that Hermosa has the bike lane, and Redondo has it. Does Manhattan have it, Mark? Does Manhattan have a a dedicated bike lane in Manhattan
Beach? Yes. I mean, we've put in over 11 miles in the last few months of bike lanes, you know.
Okay. All right.
As good as we can do it, plus we have sharrows and things like that. So.
Right. So what makes sense to me is we have existing bike lanes. Is there any way to make the scooters and these other motorized vehicles use the bike lanes? Does that make sense? I mean, we got to get them off the sidewalk, right?
Well, no, that's what we're saying. We definitely want them to do that. It's enforcement is always the issue. Listen, we banned cigarettes. People still smoke. We banned, it's enforcement. We've got to have some teeth behind these rules, and so that it sends a message. And that's what we're talking about.
But at the same time, I don't want them to ban any motorized vehicle off of the bike path or the Strand.
That's what I'm afraid
it's going to come to.
It's not, but you know what? You really shouldn't be on the Strand in a motorized vehicle.
Not even my electric bike?
Yeah, I don't even think that's viable for an electric bike. Steve, is that correct?
No.
Well, that's correct. They're not legal on the Strand.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to support you, Jackie, in your sentiment on that. A dear friend of mine, Julian Katz, who I considered to be the patriarch of cycling in Hermosa and maybe even in all of the South Bay, we lost him at about, I think he was 85, 86, a few months back. And he was the cyclist. He was for cycling around town anytime you possibly could. And in his last couple of years, he got an electric bike, and he was overjoyed. And I've heard you rave about yours, Jackie, and he was identically enthusiastic. Now, guys like Julian and Jackie are very conscientious about how they ride their motorized bikes, well, you know, electric bikes, in places that maybe are iffy. And I know legally it's not allowed, strictly speaking, on the Strand, but people are doing it. Well-meaning people, careful people, considerate people, I think get along just fine. And I kind of think that's where we're at currently. But if you see an influx where everybody's got electric bikes, including the unscrupulous, as the price drops, probably get some younger folks, teens and stuff, riding them around. And not to discredit them, but maybe they might be riding a little faster than the rest of us. And if mm-hmm. you get a bike share operation in where you have a lot of people that don't know our area and the bike share has electric bikes, and suddenly you have, instead of one or two going by every few minutes, you have 20 or 30, I have a feeling that's going to be like the tipping point, that mm-hmm. right now everybody's turning their head the other way because well-meaning people are riding them, and it hasn't really been a big problem. But you multiply that by 10 or 20, and regrettably, people are going to get hurt for sure. On the Strand, where people are walking, and they're erratic. I mean, they their dogs are going to clothesline you and stuff, and so there will be accidents. And I guess my point is, enjoy it now. That if it grows in the future, I have a feeling they'll clamp down for the sake of safety, as they should. I also share your thoughts about riding in the street too, Jackie. I think it's risky.
Well, think about it like this, Jackie. If you're on the freeway, and the speed limit is 65, but you're doing 70, and everybody else is doing 70, that's fine, okay?
Right.
It's that guy who's weaving in and out of traffic doing 75. That's when you run into the issue. So no one's penalizing people who are if they're going the speed of the traffic and they're fitting in with the wherever they are. It's like Steve said, it's when you get proliferation and the prices come down just like everything does, and all of a sudden everybody's got one. And remember, kids are puppies. I mean, they're just running all over. We were all kids and some mm-hmm. adults, some young adults. And we're in a fast-paced generation, and so it's point A to point B, path of least resistance, and how quickly can I get there? And they'll weave in and out. And so those are the guys, and then it comes to enforcement too. So, yeah, you can't be just part pregnant, you know.
The other thing to remember is always be those people, even on regular bikes, even on, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
There, you know, there will always be those people. I see it every day. Bicyclists, you know, running lights and, you know, not paying, you know, when they're on the street, they're not paying attention to the stop signs and stuff. You know, and you know, the police have been out. You know, the police are out. You know, they're stopping them and they're ticketing them. You know, if you don't stop at a stop sign, you're going to get a ticket.
Hermosa
and I'm
got
happy
me going through a stoplight. I was with three other riders and we blew through a stoplight. And, boy, we, you know, I should have kept going, but I stopped like a good citizen and got a ticket.
There you
just
go.
A quick detour. Just a quick detour on that matter, you guys. The South Bay Bicycle Coalition initiated what's called a diversion program. So if you do get a ticket on a bicycle for running a stop sign or red light, you have the opportunity now for $50 to take a bike safety course and have to pay that $300 or $400 ticket.
No kidding.
So, yeah, not that I'm encouraging you to do that and see what happens, but we here on the coalition, every time we go out and stump for more safer bike routes, we always hear people say, hey, what about the cyclists who are disobeying the law and running stop signs? We say we agree. That is something that needs to be dealt with, and that's what we're trying to do here.
Well, I also believe...
Make sure everybody obeys the law.
I also believe, and I've said this to the city many times, as it relates to bikes, because people still don't know the rules. It's ignorance. I mean, it's not that they don't want to follow the rules. It's some of it's ignorance. And that's why sometimes there's this animosity between drivers and bikers, is that there needs to be a campaign. And these need to be South Bay-wide campaign, and all the beach cities should get involved in doing this. And that is, you know, I mean, I've said it in my newsletters many times that, you know, you ride with the traffic and you run against the traffic. And you do not ride on sidewalks, and you do stop at stop signs. If you want, if a bike wants the same privilege as a car, you need to follow the same rules. Now, the other thing, Steve, speaking of Bike Coalition, and I've had people driving who get so incensed with this, I think also, though, because it takes two to tango, I think also bikers need to remember they are on a slower vehicle for the most part. Unless it's Steve's group, of course. But, I mean, they are in a slower vehicle. And when you're riding next to each other and there's cars behind you, really, I know, just go single file. Let them by, you know. But I think some bikers really take it so seriously that, hey, I'm just as entitled to this space as the car is, and they're willing to let these cars back up behind them. And you really, think of it as just etiquette.
You're on the right track with that, but I just learned something recently myself. I'm not a road bike guy. I like to ride the Strand like Jackie, and that's where I feel safest. But I understand that if you're riding along the road with cars, that if you're tucked in to the right as far as you can, but it's not a lot of room, more accidents occur by the car thinking they get by you than if you were to actually get in the road and force the car to have to go out and around you in a more exaggerated fashion. I've heard the opinion that it's actually safer. Not that I'm advocating that because it gripes me too, but to be more in the road and force the car to actually have to go around you is in some
sense safer. But if they can't
go,
so what I'm saying is just let the car around you and then go back to the to the parallel riding, you know.
No, I'm with you on that. It gripes me too.
I'm not saying stay hugging the side because, listen, I've come down that hill into Playa on a bike and probably wrong, not correct, but, you know, you're cutting through traffic and somebody opens up a door to spit or whatever. Oh, my gosh, my biggest fear, you know.
It's a big problem.
Well, the biggest thing is you have to be careful out there. The South Bay Bicycle Coalition does some fabulous work. I know that you do seminars on bike safety and bike etiquette. But, you know, and as you said, Steve, it's still fairly new. As the price comes down, it'll get more popular. And our city leaders, and in this case, all of the beach cities together, if they're not already talking about it as a group effort, they should be. I was in Munich a couple of years ago, and boy, oh boy, is that a bike crazy city. They have on their sidewalks, they have separate, they're painted lanes. And it took us a day or two to figure out that we were walking in the bike lane, but there's a lane for pedestrians, there's a lane for bikes. It's something that all of the beach cities to get together and figure something out. I mean, I'll throw this out there. because it's something that I've been saying for years, particularly in Redondo, the strand path, that could be widened. You know, they have a very small area for very small lane for pedestrians, and in some areas that lane disappears altogether. And we've got a ton of beach down there. You know, it's a wide beach. It's not like a narrow beach. So, you know, that's something. I know that's, you know, Coastal Commission and all these other, you know, state and regional and stuff agencies that would have to get involved. But that is a very viable thing. I mean, you could widen it in Hermosa to make it safer. You know, something, again, work together as a region because I believe that it is going to, you know, our environmental mindset these days, being healthier, I believe it is, people are going to be getting on bikes more, whether they're regular, you know, people powered or electric or gas or whatever.
Here's 2 points, you know. Two things. And I can take that heresy a little further. First of all, we're rolling into, and I'm 62, so I'm that guy, but we're rolling into the largest senior citizen population this mm-hmm. country, this world's ever seen, right? And so you're going to see electric bikes; they're mm-hmm. going to happen.
Right.
So we've got to find something in these dense cities, because this isn't Munich where you've got the wide streets and all of that. These are beach cities, and they have narrow, but I've always thought, and I suggested to the city council too, when they were looking at the master plan going forward, I don't know why, other than expense, we can't, with the Veterans Parkway all the way to, what is that, 190th, wherever, all the way to
the Greenbelt, yeah.
Toronto. All the way to Sepulveda, you can't carve out a bike lane in that. That whole path.
So you get yourself
path.
In trouble
Talk
with that one. Yeah, that's
I know. That's terrible.
Yeah, you don't touch the green belt.
I know that, but it's also 2018, and if you created a path, think about that. We're all worried about how we're going to create these bike paths so people can get to the areas. If you have that path, and you have it all the way stretching, everybody can get to any part in the beach cities pretty handily. You know,
right.
And I still think, I don't mean, listen, Steve, I'm not saying put it right up next to the chip path. I'm saying create a path, even if it's down by the road, but carve out a wide, you know, two lane, just like the size of the strand, and take it all the way from Redondo to Sepulveda.
Yeah, Mark,
well,
you
you're
going to
get the
bump off. Yeah. So, and you're barking up the right tree here. Our biggest predicament, and the coalition, one of our biggest projects is trying to get safe pathways built. And the money part is not really that hard. Money's been sitting around in the coffers for a number of our cities here for bikeways for some time. The problem is the will to give up parking spaces and automobile lanes. And every time we advocate for something, even Sharrow's, there's a lot of resistance from motorists. And so it's an uphill battle to find space. Our cities, unlike the European cities that everybody, including all of our councils, marvel at for their space they provide to bikes and alternative vehicles, we just aren't willing to give up room for it and didn't build our cities for that. But one other point I wanted to make that actually came as news to me recently, the South Bay COG, which I know probably most of you are familiar with, it's a community of 15 cities in our area, began an initiative where they're trying to build what they call low-speed network of paths for not just bikes but skateboards and scooters and all kinds of things to network our mm-hmm. 15 cities. Now, that's wonderful, and there's been a lot of will to do that for many years, and it's a difficult, difficult challenge. But to have a bigger organization with citywide cooperation, perhaps they'll make a little more progress than city by city that we have.
Wow, I deal with South Bay COG all the time. I hadn't heard that yet. I mean, I was over there for their electric bike and all the displays and Lime and Bird and all. Everybody was over there with their booths, and we were all over there, city council, to look at all these things and look at their business models and all of that.
Right.
But I hadn't heard of that. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, Aaron Baum with the COG is leading that, if you wanted to look further into it.
Yeah, will do.
I mean, that's you know, it's a chicken and egg thing. Do you want more bikes on the roads and that forces you to bring more bike lanes? Or do you want more bike lanes?
First of all, Sharrows, who cares? Just put the Sharrows down. All it is awareness.
Yeah.
It's just building awareness. It's not hurting anybody.
Right.
It's not taking any space.
It's
just building awareness. It's a easy. That's a no-brainer. I don't know why people complain about that. You know,
right.
It's and then, but going back to my, which I probably might find my tires flat when I get outside, but the Veterans Parkway, I'm not saying you take away parking spaces. I don't think you have to do that. You just meander in a way that goes around those spaces, and I mean there'll be places like that. Look, we got a running trail when you get into Mosa. There's literally a running path trail that winds its way along next to the path. I mean, you just listen, where there's a will, there's a way, and there just has to be
right.
a will, and right now we don't have the will. So
I think my idea of widening the Strand is more feasible than that, honestly.
Yeah, but once again, you do things that you can change. You are dealing with the Coastal Commission. Now, listen, I know the Coastal Commission. Those guys would probably be all for it because they're all about getting people access to the beach. And if that means more people can have access to the beach, then they're all for it. But they don't want to.
I did want to share with you that I, you know, with the coalition, we frequently find ourselves in council and courting council members. And by all appearances, they're all very pro-bike, and they are very in favor of advancing bike infrastructure. And, I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody in the beach cities that is saying, no, I don't want any of that. And they've been for it for since the Bicycle Master Plan was passed, I think, 2010 or 11. And it's just, you know, the will is there. But
well, okay, I would say the interest is there because, listen, for a city council person to say something against bikes, that's like saying you don't want to kiss babies. You know, it's
right.
I mean, they're not. No one is going to say they're against bikes. I mean, this is an outdoor culture. This is the beach. That's not good political capital to do that. But the will, though, to really stand up and be passionate enough to enact change, to go against the one percenters to make something happen,
needs to happen.
I'm seeing people paint a stripe. They'll paint a stripe down the side of Valley here and call it a bike path. Okay?
Right.
And now they can say we put in a bike path. We are awesome. Well, I gotta tell you, that's a scary bike path along Valley.
Yeah.
It's at the absolute minimum width. I'd rather ride. I just ride with the cars if I'm going to be on that street. I don't. You know, I look
you
at it as that.
Never want to ride that. Yeah. You never.
But they can point
to
that as we put a bike path along the Valley, and that's what I'm saying. People are just they're going to do the minimum so they can point to it and say we did that. We put in bike paths. We did that. But
never want to ride that bike path with children. And that's the key, I think, for me personally, is that when we talk about bike-friendly, my daughter went to UC Davis, the bike capital of the world. I mean, they have more bikes than people. I mean, that's a bike-friendly city. There's no way in terms of space that the South Bay really has enough space to become that bike-friendly.
Well, that's why, if I had a highway along Veterans Parkway, I could peel off in Hermosa, I could peel off to Redondo, I could peel off to Manhattan Beach. I mean, it's just, to me, it's such a simple solution, and it can be done. Remember, we have designers, we have earth-friendly, environmental-friendly designers who can design it in such a way that it's not taking the charm away from Veterans Parkway.
Here's one other thing, Mark, is quite honestly, I don't want to ride on Veterans Parkway. I want to ride on the beach.
Okay, Jackie, we can build that out too. But I'm just saying we've got something here, a thread that runs through all of our beach cities where you talk about people, because people are saying, oh, maybe we need to put a bike path on Aviation. Maybe we need to, holy mackerel, Anyway, that's my thought. And I see people around my car right now through the window. They're flashing the tires.
Yes, that will happen.
Steve,
that will happen. And
I will hear about this. Here's how I will get around it, by the way. When people talk to me, I'll say, well, Mark, the Manhattan Beach Chamber is supportive. I've said, yeah, because they can peel off and go to your business easier.
Yeah.
You know? So that's how I'll handle it.
You're very good,
Steve,
at spending the taxpayer's money.
Yeah. Steve, what is in 1 minute, I want to give Steve a 1 minute block of time to summarize the solutions to our last mile issues from your perspective, Steve. What are the solutions and what are the modes of transportation that are included?
I guess I would question the question, do we have a last mile need? I know there are some cities where bike share works really well, where you have lots of destinations, maybe lots of out-of-towners, hotels. You have slow-moving traffic and lots of places to go. We don't have any kind of public transportation that ends here. I guess we have buses. Those buses have bike racks to bring your own bike. So last mile, I have to tell you, I sit on the board of directors for the coalition, but I love walking. I walk from Hermosa to my home in Redondo frequently. When I had an office, it was a mile away. I walk there and walk home for lunch. I like walking. So that's obviously one of the solutions. Bike share is one of the solutions, and it works in some places. It does not work in others. It's not financially viable. I kind of think the scooters would be probably your most likely solution to the last mile because, as you guys have mentioned, you don't want to show up sweaty. I don't think people really do want to exercise for the last mile. They would just want to get there. And so probably the scooters are the best way to do that. I sure hope we come to our senses about the safety of those. They can't be on the sidewalks. They've got to be ridden legally. I don't like riding with cars, but I'm not going to try and stop people from doing that. But if you want a last-mile solution and you're willing to ride among cars, then I kind of figure scooters, perhaps electric bikes, are the solution, particularly with our topography here in Manhattan Beach and North Redondo and Hermosa Beach, where we have lots of hills and not a lot of dedicated bikeways. I think those solutions probably are best.
Mm-hmm.
And just mm-hmm. keep in mind, you fellas don't wear heels, so that's something that would be very, very good for women is, trying to walk up hills in heels.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the hills are a problem.
This has been a great conversation, and we will definitely do it again in the future when more things have begun happening.
Well, you're
going
to see this. It's going to be on the Manhattan Beach agenda. I mean, it's already being brought up. There isn't a meeting that goes by where someone doesn't stand up and talk about the scooter issue. So you're going to see that. Steve, what I think, one of the things is I think Hermosa Cyclery and the Bicycle Coalition, but Hermosa Cyclery as a business should be approaching the city and suggesting that they run stations and have bike rental stations in strategic locations around Manhattan Beach. I think, I think Hermosa Cyclery should approach Shade Hotel, Seaview Inn on the north end, the West Drift, the former Marriott, and anybody else that has the bike shares and say, I'd like to run a rental operation for people who are not staying at your hotel out of your facility.
Right.
And
I think you're barking up the right tree.
Then you've got not a dockless situation. You've got a listen, if I rent a bike, and that way if Hermosa Cyclery has all those locations at those bases, then if I rent a bike at Shade and I go up to the north end and I want to Uber back, I can drop it off at Seaview.
Right. The Shade Hotel has free bikes, and so does Portofino have free bikes. And this kind of makes my point earlier. There are free bike share bikes available already in our community. And when you
But those are
ask
for guests,
because
I talked to Shade about that. Those
right.
are for guests. I'm talking about if someone comes up to the Chamber of Commerce and says, I'm visiting from Iowa, I'd like to get a bike.
Right.
Where do I go? I could say, well, Hermosa Cyclery over at Shade. See those guys.
Yeah.
And The cool thing is you have a bike map, and it shows you where you can drop it off. Listen, if you're going up to the north end, just drop it off there and Uber back if you want, and you know.
Yeah. No, you're on the right track. That actually is a profitable business model. The Crown Plaza has a business in it that is a for-profit bike rental, and there are others around town.
Oh, so there's a precedent. Nice.
Yeah, and so it does work. Whether people are trying to get from one point to the other and leave a bike, you know, when I'm here from out of town, I like to go both ways.
Same
on
here.
On the Strand. I want to see both sides. So I don't know. I haven't seen, you know, we offer and rarely get inquiries about one-way rides, but people do ask whether they would take you up on it or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we got to wrap this up, guys. We got to wrap this up. Joe, you want to take us home?
Well, Steve Collins, partner and president of Hermosa Cyclery, not only is the history of your association with Hermosa Cyclery and the exact nature of how you and your partners came to own the business, it's a classic South Bay story. We're so thrilled to have you, Steve. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, you guys. It's been a real pleasure.
Happy Friday, everyone.
And
have a great weekend.
I just want to mention, Steve, did you know that my daughter, Sarah Terry, worked at Hermosa Cyclery? And my other daughter, Olivia. Yes. And that's how integral your company is involved in the community. I think all of our neighbors, all of our friends that had kids at one point considered their child, you know, working there. And I was lucky enough to have two daughters that work there, Sarah Terry and Olivia Terry. Just want to give a shout out to all of their friends.
Wow, how cool.
And Steve,
my daughter just started working there this summer. My daughter Alyssa just started working there at 16.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What a great job for a kid during the summer.
It is.
For a kid.
Amazing.
Steve, my application is already in. Please move that to the top.
I believe that. To Mark to Jackie, I just want to say to see you guys at Bite at the Beach tomorrow. It's going to be
a
blast.
I will be there.
Steve,
my wife and I will be there.
Steve, find me. Find me and let's clean the glasses.
Come and say hello to us at our booth, all right?
Will do.
Yes, absolutely. So we're going to have Steve Collins, ladies and gentlemen, in the house on the Facebook Live post tomorrow. And goodbye, everybody. Thank you, Jackie.
And Steve, I would make comment, and I'll back you up too, and make comment along with you at every city council meeting if I were you. Just show up at every but you should be there too. But make comment.
I've been
really got to keep this.
I've been at many of those meetings, so I'm becoming a fixture. I'm
going to
be one of those guys that they go, oh God, here he is again.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You can't. That can happen. So, all right. Happy Friday, guys. Have a great weekend. I'll see you at Bite at the Beach.
All right.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.